We are joined by one of the great players in NFL history. It is Randy White. Now, Drew Pearson was supposed to be here. I hope nothing's happened to Drew. I mean, we double-checked with him, but Drew has been such a faithful person with us for years. But anyway, we continue with Randy White. Good morning.
Good morning, Norm.
What's that hat say?
That says Punk Carter.
Punk Carter.
Punk Carter. He's a buddy of mine that is a cutting horse guy. And when I was going through my wanting to be a real cowboy days, I used to go to Punk for lessons. And I first went to Walt Garrison.
Oh, my goodness. Oh, we could spend the next hour talking about Walt Garrison.
You want me to tell that story?
Oh, my God. Yes. For those who don't know, Walt Garrison was a smallish running back from Oklahoma State who returned kicks, but he was a real cowboy. I mean a real cowboy. Okay, pick it up there.
Well, I got to know Walt. I used to work for him when he was the president of U.S. Tobacco Company. But I wanted to when I retired, I wanted to start doing something different. So I was going to start team roping. And
Walt, aren't you a little large to be on a horse, sir?
Well, I had to get a big horse.
Okay.
So I went. Walt says, "Come to the house. I got a horse. I got this." So I get out there. He watches me ride the horse. He watches me swing the rope. And he says, "Randy," he says, "you can't ride a horse or swing a rope." He said, "you need to go up there to Punk Carter and learn how to ride a horse first." So I went to Punk, and I started off cleaning the stalls, cleaning the horses. I started off at the bottom, and I learned it from the bottom up. And I got pretty good at the team roping. And what was I going to tell you, Norm? I forget stuff in my old age.
It's okay. But, I mean, first of all, is that his real name? Mr. and Mrs. Carter named their son Punk?
Well, that's the only name I know for him is Punk Carter. He's up there in Salina. I had breakfast with him the other day, and he's still Punk.
In the Golden Triangle up in Salina. Oh, my goodness. So, did you ever enter any contests?
Oh, yeah. I mean, if I did something, I wasn't a professional, but I got good enough to go compete. And, you know, I got Super Bowl rings. I got the Hall of Fame rings. I got all that stuff. But I also have a belt buckle that Walt Garrison and I won team roping together.
No.
Over at the Mesquite Rodeo, at that MS Rodeo. I was heading, Walt was heeling, and we won the roping. And I'm as proud of that belt buckle as I am the Super Bowl rings and the Hall of Fame rings, because that took a lot of work to get to where we could do that. And
hey, have you ever heard the story of Walt Garrison's rookie year, where on Saturday night before home games, he would go down to South Dallas, and he would rodeo. He'd do dangerous stuff. This is an NFL player trying to, at that point, make a little money on the side.
Well, yeah, whoa.
Yeah, so he goes down there, and it's like halfway through the season, and Tom Landry calls him in, and he says, "Walt," Tom could be a little stoic, as you know.
Yeah, I know.
"Walt."
Oh, too well.
"It has come to my attention that I believe on Saturday night before home games, you're going to South Dallas and taking part in rodeos. Is that true?"
And he was bulldogging. He was a bulldog.
Oh, yeah. We're not talking about some fancy stuff he's doing. He's doing dangerous stuff. So Walt looks at Coach Landry and said, "Yes, sir, that's true." And Coach Landry simply looks at him and says, "That's not going to continue, is it, Walt?" And that was the end. Walt's rodeo career had to be put on hold till after his...
When he got drafted by the Cowboys, the bonus he got was an inline trailer.
Yes.
A horse trailer. That was his signing bonus, was he got an inline or a fancy horse trailer.
Yeah, that's what Gil Brandt got him. A horse trailer as a signing bonus.
He was a character. Walt, Walt was a true character. I can tell you 9 million stories.
Walt Garrison.
We'd go out somewhere. I work with U.S. Tobacco Company, the Copenhagen and the Skull. We'd go to these dinners and functions. One time he sent me to New York. He went with me. I said, Walt, what should I wear? He said, just wear your jeans and your boots. You're okay. We get up there. Everybody's got a coat and tie on, including him, except for me and the Charlie Daniels band that was there. So you know who I hung out with the whole time I was up there. And then the other thing, Walt, I'd be around him with a lot of people. Like, we would be here right now talking and stuff, and he'd look at me just like this. He'd go, Randy White, only way you could be dumber is be bigger. And he would do that in front of, I mean, if he didn't like you, he wouldn't kid you. But I mean, we had a lot of fun.
Oh, Walt Garrison, there are so many stories.
I could keep telling them. Rattlesnake Rodeo in Op, Alabama. I mean,
were you there when the Cowboys still practiced on Forest Avenue?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Were you there when Walt brought, you expect pro football players to show up in at least fairly nice vehicles. Remember when Walt showed up with that, how old was the thing?
Norm, I wasn't there then. I didn't get there when Walt was, he retired the year after I got there.
Walt would show up at the training facility with this, like, 20-year-old vehicle that said, we mow lawns, and there was a number on the side. He was a hoot, man.
He was a good one.
Randy, what first got you into fishing?
My father-in-law was a sold boats. He was a rep for Hummingbird Depth Finders.
All right.
And he asked me to go along with him fishing one time. So I went along with him, and heck, I enjoyed it, you know, bass fishing. And that kind of got me started. And then we had access to fish down there in East Texas, to the Murchison's Lake and Cattle Creek Ranch and, the Boy Scout Ranch. I got to fish in some of the greatest fishing places. You didn't go fishing, you went catching. I got spoiled. And then I worked with Skeeter Boats for like 25 or 30 years. So every day off, I would go fishing. I mean, if I didn't have to go to that training room for some reason or another, I went fishing. And I love fishing. Now I've got my daughter, my two grandkids, a 14-year-old and a 7-year-old little girl, live with me. Their dad passed away. So anyway, long story short, I don't have much time to go fishing anymore.
Well, have you taken them fishing?
Well, they've gone fishing a couple times. I got a little videotape. I have a little pond up in front of my house, and I used to fill it up with all 10-pound bass. I'd bring them 10-pound bass. I had an aerated tank on the back of my truck. And if I catch a big fish, I'd bring him back and put him in the pond. And then I'd let people that had little kids that liked to catch big, you know, there's nothing worse than taking a kid fishing and he don't catch a fish.
Right.
Then he won't like fishing. But if you take them fishing and they catch something, they want to go back. So I had a little spot where they would for sure catch a fish. But my grandson, when he was little, he caught one. And I got a picture. I went to step in the water to take the fish off the hook, and I fell down and went under the water. So, anyway, but you know, I don't go fishing like I used to do. I used to go every Tuesday when we played. That was kind of like my escape. I would go, I'd leave Monday night, drive down to East Texas. I'd sleep in my Suburban. I have my Suburban rigged up to go, you know, where I could sleep in it. And I'd fish all day Tuesday, come home. Then I'd get up and go to practice Wednesday morning and start the week. But it was a great escape for me, that fishing, especially when I was playing football.
Amazing. We got Cowboy players rodeoing and fishing on their day off. I think those days are pretty much disappearing, buddy.
I don't know. I don't know what these guys do now, but that was my escape. You know, that was where I cleared my head, got everything off my mind, and if depending on who we were playing the next week, I would be sitting down there thinking about John Hanna or whoever the heck I had to play against, and I'd start my preparing my mental preparation for the game.
Well, Randy just mentioned one name. But boy, did he mention greatness. John Hanna was a dude. He was a dude. Those were some great street fights in that line.
Oh, I didn't get to play against him as that often because they weren't in the NFC. But I got to play against him. And, you know, I made that Pro Bowl for 9 years in a row.
And so did he.
So did he, and so did Mike Webster,
oh,
the center from the Steelers, right? So we're in the game, the Pro Bowl, and Hanna and Webster are double teaming me.
In the Pro Bowl?
In the Pro Bowl, they're double teaming me. And Dave Butts from the Redskins was in there one play. He was playing the other tackle. And I looked at Webster, and I said, Webster, I said, go block Dave Butts. I said, he could play football. He said, no, Randy, we're after you all day. I said, okay. I was playing next to Leroy Selman, and we weren't I had the weapon there now. And we weren't supposed to stunt. And I said, Leroy, I said, next time we get the third down, I said, I'm going to go outside. And Webster and Hanna, they're going to be chasing me. I said, you take a couple. He was playing against Anthony Munoz. I said, take a couple plays, a couple steps up. I said, and then do your thing. And 2 years, he was the most valuable defensive player. And I look at Hanna and Webster, and I say, yeah, you want to play? Let's play.
That's Randy White. This is the 25th annual CrestCars.com Normathon. Donate, please, at the site, austinstreet.org. Please, when you get to either the ticket site or Austin Street, see the fantastic major auction items we've got. And by the way, Randy White is welcome to bid on our fishing trip for two to the Amazon.
We've talked about that over the years, Norm. That's one of my bucket list things that I never have done that I wanted to go do. But
I can help you with that.
Well, I know you can. But
more with Randy White, and we talk more football, more old Cowboys with Randy on the ticket. We're at the Crest Cars Infinity Showroom in Frisco. This is the 25th annual Normathon. We have raised so far in our 24 years $10.1 million in cash alone and millions more in service donations, clothing, shoes, longtime donor relationships. Our guest is the Manster, Randy White. Played with the Cowboys from 1975 to 1988. Super Bowl MVP, Super Bowl 13 victory, 8-time first-team All-Pro. That's the one that's more important than the Pro Bowls. That All-Pro is more important. All-Decade team, incredible. By the way, the year Randy was drafted, 1975, Atlanta picking first chose to go quarterback. They took the golden pole. Steve Bratkowski.
Well, they actually, Baltimore had the number one pick, Norm, and they traded it to Atlanta because Atlanta wanted Bratkowski.
Uh-huh.
And then Dallas had the number two pick from trading Craig Morton to the Giants, and that's how I ended up being a Cowboy.
You know who number four was that year?
Walter Payton.
Walter Payton. Now, that was a draft right there. Buddy, Randy White and Walter Payton in the first four picks. Now, something you may not know about Randy White that I don't think gets published nearly enough. How many games did you miss in your career?
One.
One.
But I didn't really miss it, Norm. I started the game, and I had a broken bone in my foot.
Stop right there. We'll pick it up there. You had a broken bone in your foot and you still started the game?
Yeah, I went out there and tried to play. And I just couldn't push off on my right foot the way I needed to. So I came out of the game. So I didn't really miss a game, but I missed a game.
Good Lord. Why have injuries become so more prevalent in football now?
Well, I think they try to protect these guys, which I think is a good thing. But sometimes I watch these games and they get bumped a little bit this way or that way, and they jump up and look at the referee and they say, flag, flag. And I'm going, oh, my goodness, these guys. I don't know what's right or wrong, but I just know it's different. I'll just say that.
Well, when you played, we now have a major penalty for hands to the face. No. How many times? Do you have any guess how many times you got swatted in the head as a player?
Consistently, Norm. You know,
all the time.
We were at each other all the time. It was like a street fight more than it, you know. I mean, that's just the way we played. I mean, I don't know if I should say this on the radio, but I mean, that play where the guy spit on the other guy or whatever happened, and they made, I mean, you thought, my goodness gracious, Mark May and I used to spit at each other all the time. I mean, it was like a predetermined thing, you know. You get mad, you can't fight, so you try to gotta get a swat at him. You always go, well, look out.
Now, back then, I remember this from the late and wonderful Rayfield Wright.
Okay.
But he talked about Deacon Jones, who had this incredible head slap. And what made it incredible was, as he went to slap your helmet, he would cup his hand and hit the hole in the helmet and drive the air. It just makes me almost wilt to think of getting swatted like that all the time.
Well, when I first got to the Cowboys in 1975, my coach was Ernie Stautner. And Ernie was the guy, well, you've seen Ernie. His hands look like, I mean, they were giant. And he was the one that started using that head slap. But he taught us this. First move off the ball is you hit him under the chin with this. And then you whack them with a right cross. I mean, it was just like a jab cross, man. I mean, but that's what they taught us. That's the way we played the game back then. I mean, and then they outlawed it, and we couldn't use the head slap anymore.
Did you ever encounter the man who has the reputation of the dirtiest player ever, Conrad Dobler? Did you ever encounter him?
Oh, yeah, Dobler.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. I got one time, I forget how, Larry Cole was a defensive tackle for us.
A member of the Zero Club.
The Zero Club, Larry Cole. And Larry Cole was as good a football player. I mean, he was a great football player, but a very quiet guy and didn't want any attention. And I never saw him get knocked off his feet. And Dobler hit him, cheap shotted him one time, and knocked him down. And Bubber, I never saw him mad, but he was mad. And he said, Randy, next pass and play, you come around. There won't be anybody there. He took Dobler. He took the center. He took my guard. He threw everybody. I want to tell Dobler, I want to say, hey, keep making him mad. He did all the work. I ran around and got all the credit for being, for getting the sacks. But.
Randy White, NFL Hall of Fame, 6 years after he finished playing. You played your entire career for Tom Landry.
Yes, sir.
Tom was a distinct personality, a distinct human being. What's your favorite Tom Landry story?
My favorite Tom Landry story. Well, if you want me to tell us, I got a couple stories. I mean, I talk more to you today than I did him in 14 years.
That sounds like the absolute truth.
Well, you know, you would walk through the locker room, you know, when you pass somebody, you know, you'd nod your head like, hello. And he would just keep going straight like, I mean, he was focused on something else. So I just sit down. I quit saying hi to him.
Were you afraid of him?
Of course I was afraid of him. Oh, my goodness, yeah.
Were you afraid of Tex Ram?
Not really afraid of Tex Ram, but, you know, he's the one that wrote the checks. That was the other side of the deal.
You know, Randy, I get the feeling that Tex Ram didn't leave a book behind about where all the bodies are buried. I had that impression of Tex.
Well, I don't know. That's how much.
Well, you remember the strike when Tex Ram called his team my commodity?
Well,
how cool is that?
Now, I'll tell you a story about Tex.
Okay.
We talked about breaking my foot being broken.
Uh-huh.
Well, I played the next 8 games. Once Nike made me a pair of shoes with a metal wedge in the bottom. Anyway, I shoot it up before the game, shoot it up at halftime. And so I played those 8 games, and I made the Pro Bowl. But I said, Pro Bowl game, I'm going to miss it. And Tex got mad at me because I didn't go to the Pro Bowl game that year.
Why did he get mad at you? Going?
Because I didn't go. He wanted his Dallas Cowboys out there. You know, he was a marketer, you know, and he wanted the Dallas Cowboy to be in that Pro Bowl.
There are so many Tex Ram stories. Can I tell you a personal one?
Yeah, go ahead.
Okay. This is before you. I get in town January 1972. To work for Channel 4, what was then CBS. But that's when there were a lot of players grumbling. Apparently, Bob Lilly had gone to the Pro Bowl and found out that Merlin Olsen, another tremendous defensive tackle, was making twice as much as he was. Well, I'm telling you, Lilly was at least as good as Merlin Olsen. Lilly was unbelievable. So then the whispers start about what's he making, what's you making, what's that guy making. So I'm working at Channel 4, and as camp approaches, I do a feature, 5 of them. One, every sportscast for the entire week, entitled, Why Aren't These Men Smiling? Because they just been to the Super Bowl, for heaven's sakes. You know, and We choose the team picture and then zoom in on who wasn't smiling that week, okay? And I tried to get Tex to do an interview. Al Ward did the interview. Really nice man, assistant general manager. So I go to Cowboy Camp at Texas Lutheran, or at Cal Lutheran. And Randy knows this. You'd stay in the dorms at Cal Lutheran. I mean, it was just, that didn't seem like NFL players should be sleeping on bunk beds and your feet hanging off one end. So, as fate would have it, I'm walking down the hall one day with my cameraman, and out of the door right in front of us comes Tex Ram from the Cowboy office. He turns, starts to walk toward me. I'm telling you, Tex Graham scared the hell out of me. I'm serious. So I rustle up the gumption to say, Mr. Schramm, Norm Hitzkus from Channel 4, and Tex says, I know who you are. I thought, oh, my God, now I'm even more scared. And I said, Mr. Schramm, I was hoping to get an interview for you about the series we've been running of some players who are a bit unhappy. And Tex, and you'll know this from later dealings with him, Tex had early tremors. And Tex holds out his finger, and the finger's trembling. And he points it at me, and he says, I don't need your kind of forum. And walks right past me, and honestly, we never spoke for at least 2 more years.
Wow.
He was hard, Randy.
I know.
That man was hard.
I'll tell you a story. I tell you, I held out 1 year.
Yes.
I was going up for a contract, and I didn't go to training camp. I loaded up my boat and and my weightlifting stuff, and I went down to East Texas, and I camped out at Cattle Creek Ranch.
Isn't that where the cameraman Bill Tippett found you?
Bill Tippett found me up in Mount Pleasant,
okay,
Texas.
Okay.
I was fishing Monticello that particular day. But I missed every preseason game. I mean, every preseason game. And it was like 2 days before the regular season started. And I get a phone call from my agent, Howard Slusher, the guy that they all hated Howard.
Oh, yeah.
Because he knew what all the guys on other teams, and that started happening. They started telling. So, anyway, long story short, I call Howard. I said, he told me the offer. He said, that. I said, okay. I said, good. I said, we're going to sign that. And he says, yeah. So we get to Texas House. And we're going to Texas House. This is the day before the game.
Opening game.
Opening game.
Okay.
Day before the opening game. And I went to Texas House with Howard, and we're sitting there, and we get the paper, and we'd already agreed, and Howard goes, well, we'd like to change. And and Tex goes, I wish I had a picture, Norm. He went, No. I said, we're signing it, Tex. And we signed it, and we got out of there. We got the deal done. I started the game and played every play.
Okay, one more.
Okay.
John Fitzgerald, Fitzy.
Fitzy, yeah.
Dave Manders, veteran center.
Mm-hmm.
They drafted Fitzy to be the successor to Dave Manders. But meanwhile, Fitzy started playing some yard. Okay?
Yeah.
So it comes time for contracts for each of them. And Manders has a holdout. It's all about Manders, not Fitzy. Manders has a holdout. And Tex won't give in. And Manders won't give in. And finally, Manders, the difference is $3,000 is the difference. Manders wanted 38. Tex wouldn't give any more than 35. So Manders, because he wants to play, what a good guy he was, he goes into Tex and says, I've got a solution. I'll play for $35,000 if you'll donate the difference, the $3,000, to the Catholic Church in my name. And Tex says, no.
I believe.
Oh, we could go on with just tales of those players and those guys.
Oh,
it's Randy White. We're past time for a break. We come back out and talk more with the Manster next on The Ticket. We're at Crest Cars, CrestCars.com. Sponsors the 25th annual Normathon. We've got ways to donate. We've got fantastic major auction items. We'll be updating you as that goes along. My buddy Donovan Lewis joins us to co-anchor the next couple of hours. Randy White right now is signing That's a Texas Stadium seat, isn't it? I recognize those. I don't know if they were built for comfort, tell you the truth. Comfort probably would have cost a little bit. Anyway, Randy White's our guest. The Manster. Okay. Grab the headset, buddy. Okay. Here we go. You decided in 1987, when there was a strike, you decided to cross the picket line. How mad were the other players in the league when you decided that? Because you're a primo name.
Well, I had some things in my contract for future things. I had an annuity for when I retired that paid me for 20 years, a death benefit a bit. I mean, I had a lot of things tied to the contract. So I went to my guys. I went to Ed and Harvey Dutton. You know, I went to all of them. I said, look, man, I'm not going against you. I'm not doing any of that. I said, but I got to take care of, I mean, I had one chance for this. And so that is the reason I went in there. That was probably the worst, only time in my life that I didn't enjoy football.
Really?
I didn't. I had to go in there and Coach Landry made me go in and play a quarter or something in that game. I didn't do anything. I mean, I looked terrible because I wasn't going to. But anyway, it was, you know, that was probably my worst time. You know, we had, anyway.
For a lack of enjoyment.
Yeah, I mean, that's the only time in my life I was playing football and didn't enjoy it.
Now, you look at Randy White, the people here at Crest. You've seen him on television. You've seen him play. He's a defensive tackle. Well, the Cowboys might have thought he was a linebacker. How well did you drop back when the ball was snapped?
Norm, I could drop back. I mean, if we'd have played a conventional 4-3 defense, like Butchkus and Nitschke and those guys played, I could have played middle linebacker. But in the flex defense, there were too many things happening. And I was thinking. And if you have to think when you're doing anything, you're already lost. It's got to be a part of you and just react. So Coach Landry called me in, and he didn't tell me. He asked me. He said, Randy, what would you think if we move you to defensive tackle? I said, Coach, and about that time, I was really getting frustrated. You know, a number one draft choice, all that stuff, and I'm not starting. You know, Leroy Jordan did everything he could to train me to be take his spot. And I said, I just want to play football. You just put me somewhere where you think I can play. And when he put me at defensive tackle, it was like somebody took the handcuffs off and said, okay, now go play. And the knowledge that I gained playing middle linebacker, I understood that whole defense and how everything worked. And that was really an advantage to me because I knew when I had the freedom to take off and when I had the freedom when I had to stay at the point of attack. And, you know, Ernie Startner worked with me every day before practice, after practice. You know, we worked. So, yeah, that was but at that point, I'm thinking they're going to say for sure they wish they drafted Walter Payton instead of me. You know?
You mentioned John Dutton. This is another Tex Schramm story.
Okay.
Or Gil Brandt. I'm sorry, Gil Brandt story. Randy played next to John Dutton. And John Dutton was a good football player.
Yes, he was.
Good football player. John Dutton's probably the worst thing ever happened to John Dutton is he lined up next to Randy White. And people compared the two. And, well, you know about Randy White. But in that area of salaries, geez, what's this guy making? Dutton wanted to redo his contract. Good luck on the Cowboys. Redoing your contract.
Yeah.
So I was told he went into Gilbrandt and said, Gil, Randy White starts at defensive tackle, and he makes this much money. And I start at defensive tackle, and I make this much money. I'd like my contract redone. And Gil said, wait a minute. You want to be paid the same as Randy White? He said, no. But I'm at least half as good.
Yeah, Big John was not bashful. He was very vocal. You know that, knowing Big John. He wasn't afraid to express his opinion.
You had so many characters on that team.
Yeah, we did.
I mean, you mentioned Harvey Martin, Larry Cole. Yourself, John Dutton.
Ed Tuttle Jones.
Leroy Jordan.
Thomas
Henderson. Dave Edwards. Did you play with Dave Edwards?
I got to know Dave, yes. I wish Drew was here, because that play when he made the catch, Dave Edwards came and he grabbed me. He said, Randy, let's walk towards the goal line and get our energy. Let's help him. And so we were walking towards the goal line when that play happened.
Really?
I swear, yes. If you could ever get a clip of the sidelines, you'll see Dave Edwards and I are walking towards the end zone and then we made the catch and we won the football game. That was, but Dave Edwards was a good leader.
Good leader.
And my nickname, the Manster, Dave Edwards was really the first one to say it, and then Charlie Waters picked it up. But Dave Edwards said, you're not a man, you're a Manster. You know how Dave used to talk?
Yeah.
Yeah, you're a Manster, you're the Manster, half man, half monster.
And Dave turned into a really fine artist.
Yeah.
After his playing days. Dave was a nice fellow.
We had a lot of great guys.
Oh, my God.
When I came on that football team, well, the 12 rookies that we had the reunion last.
The Dirty Dozen.
The Dirty Dozen. I mean, we had so many good guys, good football players, but good character people, good team people. And, you know, we're fortunate to have that.
One last quick question for Randy White. Your switch from linebacker to defensive tackle. Is it the first time you switched positions in your life? Maryland actually made Randy White a fullback as a freshman. What kind of fullback were you, sir?
Well, I have one statistic there, Norm. I think I ran 27 yards for a touchdown. I played running back in high school. I was a running back in high school. And then when I went to college, you could still... freshmen weren't eligible to play the varsity, so I played both ways in college. I played fullback and I played linebacker. I mean, defensive end.
Hadn't you outgrown fullback around there?
Yeah, when Coach Claiborne came that next year, that's one of the first things he did. He took me out of the backfield and out of the linebacker spot and put me in the defensive end in that wide tackle six. And, again, it gave me freedom. Once I learned the defense and understood where everybody was and what they were doing, I could run around and make plays everywhere. You know, that was one of the keys, is the knowledge of the defense and the people were around you. Then you can take off and go.
Well, your entire NFL career, you ran around and made plays. Thanks for being here, buddy. It's great to see you again.
It's great to see you. Anytime.
Hey, come back next year and bring Punk Carter with us.
I'll bring Punk. You'll love it. We'll bring a horse in here.
Wait a minute. We might be able to get a horse in here.
We'll get one in here.
All right.
We just have to get a shovel.
Randy, God bless you, man.
You too, Norm. Thank you.
See you,
appreciate
Randy.
It very much.
And that is Randy White.